Your top stories on Blitz this hour. Results from the final group matches in the Europa League. Budweis Wits return to winning ways in the Absa Premiership. Battle lines drawn for the Telkom knockout final. We bring you the latest cricket action from around the world. And Paralympic marathons to remain in Tokyo.
Australia and New Zealand renewed their rivalry in the first of three test matches down under. The wacker was the setting for the day-night battle, with Australia choosing to bat first. Openers Joe Burns and David Warner looked in fine touch, putting on a 40-run opening stand. The pair took a liking to Black Caps debutant Lachie Ferguson. New Zealand brought in Colin de Grandhomme, and the medium-fast bowler got the first wicket, trapping Burns' LBW for 9. Fresh off scoring a triple century against Pakistan, Warner looked in the mood to continue his good form with the bat. However, the left-hander was sent packing for 43 after a superb quartet bowl by South African-born Neil Wagner. After the lunch break, Australia dominated the second session, with Steve Smith and Marnus Labuschagne putting on 50 together. Labuschagne kicked on to notch up a 6th test match half century, with the South African-born batsman cementing his place as the leading test run scorer in 2019 thus far. The Kiwis should have had their third wicket when Ferguson found the edge of Smith, but Tom Latham could not hold on to the ball in the slips. After the tea break, wickets became scarce for the Black Caps as the Smith-Labuschagne duo piled on the runs, bringing up their 100-run partnership. Test debutant Lachie Ferguson was forced to leave the field after picking up a calf injury, leaving New Zealand a fast bowler lighter for the remainder of the final session. Sitting in the nervous 90s, Labuschagne showed his class and level of confidence in reaching his third century in as many innings.
Down he goes, Mark Waugh calls it. Has he got enough? He has indeed. Marnus Labuschagne. His golden run continues. Runs flowing from his bat, and it's Test match century number 3.
The Kiwis managed to end the 132-run stand with the wicket of Smith, 7 runs shy of his 50. With the new ball available, captain Kane Williamson made full use of the opportunity, claiming the wicket of Matthew Wade, the wicketkeeper misjudging a Tim Southee delivery. Labuschagne and Travis Head managed to overcome the Black Caps' new ball onslaught, guiding their side to 248 for 4 at the end of the day's play. Day 2 of the day-night test between Australia and New Zealand will come to you live right here on your World of Champions.
Overcast conditions awaited Nirushan Dikwela and Dhananjaya De Silva as they walked out at the Rawalpindi Cricket Stadium on day 2 of the first test against Pakistan to continue Sri Lanka's first innings. Sri Lanka on 204 for 5 after the first day of dominance by Pakistan were looking to build a challenging first innings to put the hosts under pressure. De Silva reached his 6th test half century not long after the start of play, before the heavens opened up, bringing a halt to proceedings with Sri Lanka on 222 for 5. Following a lengthy delay, play resumed in gloomy conditions. Sri Lanka reached 256 before Pakistan finally broke the 67-run partnership as Dikwela was sent packing by Shaheen Afridi for 33. While De Silva reached 72 not out, helping his side to 263 for 6, play was halted once again because of bad light. Conditions deteriorated, and with no play possible near the end of the day, the umpires called stumps, with Sri Lanka adding only 59 runs to their overnight score, losing one wicket in the process. Sri Lanka's tour of Pakistan continues with day 3 of the first test from Rawalpindi. You can catch every ball live on your World of Champions.
India and the Windies turn their attentions to the 50-over format as they contest the first of their 3-match ODI series in Chennai, and you can catch the action on your World of Champions.
The PGA Tour moves to the Tiburon Golf Club in Florida for the QBE Shootout. The action is live on your World of Champions Supersport.
There are very few Sevens destinations that can match the atmosphere when the Blitzbox run out at Cape Town Stadium. And this weekend will be no exception when the men in green take to the field to try and win their first home title since 2015. Home ground advantage could potentially have the opposite effect, but in the case of the vastly experienced Springbok Sevens, it does exactly what it intends to do, and that is for the team to feed off the crowd's energy.
There's no atmosphere bigger than Cape Town. I think the fans really come out and they really support and they really give their energy, and hopefully for us we can draw from that this weekend. But all the guys are very excited, you know, just to be at home and you know, very excited to play in front of this awesome crowd.
Yes, definitely. I think the guys get a lot of energy from the crowd, a lot of energy from the fans. So it just makes it more special. I think it gives you that little bit of extra oof just to go out. Just that little bit of extra meter that you maybe would have stopped. And you see if you get that energy from the crowd that takes you over that 1 meter that you would have stopped. But you're getting there just because of that little bit of energy you're getting from the crowd. So yeah, I think it helps a lot.
Neil Powell's team will draw confidence from their recent tournament victory in Dubai as they face a stern test in the pool stages, being grouped alongside last year's Cape Town finalists Fiji and the USA.
We definitely got a lot to look at, and if we're honest ourselves, there's a lot to improve. I think basic errors let us down, and turnovers definitely let us down. We'd like to look after the ball better, I think, is one aspect, and let the ball do the work. I think, you know, there is a few aspects, but I think there was a lot of positives as well. But hopefully, you know, those small things we can fix this weekend.
In our first game, Kenya has played a massive game against us. I think it was just a wake-up call for us as well, just to realize that there's no easy teams anymore. But we've seen it over the years. Every team is improving, and we have to step up every game that we play. So, but I think the guys have done it well last weekend. We've made a step up every game, coming back and back. I know it is the start of the season. We can't expect everything to be perfect, but at least there's a lot of positives coming from there.
The HSBC 7 Series action continues. This time, Cape Town Stadium will host the matches. New Zealand take on Wales, Fiji are up against the USA, and the Blitzbox do battle against Japan. It's all live on your World of Champions. The HSBC Women's 7 Series leg in Cape Town gets underway when Australia do battle against England. Canada take on Brazil, while South Africa's first challenge is against New Zealand.
The DHL Stormers have confirmed their coaching staff for the 2020 season, with John Dobson set to lead the team into the Super Rugby campaign. He won't be alone, however, with his backroom staff being made of personnel he has worked with before. The 2017 Currie Cup winner has come through the ranks at Western Province, as has most of his staff, with Rifat Japi, Norman Laker, Davis Neyman, Libab Levy and Brito Hlungwane being no strangers to Western Province rugby. The team manager will be the experienced Chippy Solomon, while Hanani Shimange and Gareth Wright will serve as scrum consultant and kicking coach respectively across the various professional teams at Western Province. Province will be hoping to have more success under Dobson, who is a popular figure in the corridors at Newlands.
International Paralympic Committee President Andrew Parsons confirmed the Paralympics marathons will take place in Tokyo next year. 2020 Olympic organizers wrapped up planning meetings with the IPC and concluded that, unlike the marathons for the Olympics that have been moved to the cooler city of Sapporo, the Paralympic marathons will remain in the Japanese capital.
When we spoke to the athletes, the overwhelming response was that they want to remain in Tokyo, with many marathon athletes also competing in track events during the Games, a move will be logistically difficult for them to accommodate. The marathon is also the last event of the whole of Tokyo 2020, and athletes believe competing on the streets of the city in a free event that anyone can attend is a way of saying thank you for the tremendous support Tokyo residents have shown the Paralympic movement over the last 7 years.